Welcome to Widow Too Soon. This is Michelle Bader Ebersole. I still can't say my name. Michelle Bader Ebersole. And I am sitting here with Mark Massaro. Mark, how in the world are you?
Well, Michelle Ebersole, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I am good. Like, I am so excited that you're here, and I know every single listener is like, what? What? Wait, did I hear that right? Mark is here? Because we've been hearing all of these updates, and like, this is, I am looking at a miracle, like literally looking at a miracle, because I think it was about 3 weeks ago that Joel and I saw you, and you were in the hospital bed and you could not get up. Like, you couldn't use the left side of your body at all, you know, and to see you now, like, I'm literally witnessing a miracle. Like, I wouldn't have known how much of a miracle if I hadn't actually saw you. So I'm just telling you, listeners, like, this is a miracle that he is sitting here. He went on a walk today, like, doing amazing. Yep. So let's just talk about what's happened in your world in the last, it's about a month, right? Since the stroke.
About a month, yeah. It's about a month. I had a stroke, as I'm sure everybody knows by now, which has been crazy. Like, I really almost died. And thanks to Tina, I am still alive, and she would not want me to say that because she feels embarrassed when I say that, but it's the truth. The paramedics told me that it was true, and I know it was true because I was there, and I was the one trying to talk her out of calling the ambulance. I was like begging her. I said, please, the last time my kids saw mommy was, she was being taken away in an ambulance. Like, I really don't want them to see that. This is going to scare the heck out of them. Please don't call an ambulance. She's like, I'm sorry, honey, you need an ambulance. And, so she went against my wishes and called an ambulance. And when the paramedics came, I said, hey, guys, I'm sorry. The ambulance isn't necessary. This isn't all necessary. I was all feeling bad that it was going to, like, wake up my neighbors, the bright flashing lights out front of my house and, you know, just all that stuff. And they came in, and I was on FaceTime with Tina because I was supposed to. It was all thanks to her because I was supposed to call her in the morning. And she's sitting next to me, so she might interrupt me a time or two to correct me if I say something inaccurate, because that's been happening a lot. So I was supposed to call her on the way to work, was the plan that morning, and I didn't call, and she knew that wasn't like me.
Right.
So she called me and was like, hey, is everything okay? Like, are you up? Are you, you know what I mean? And so, but she said she could hear in my voice that, like, something was wrong. And so she said, can we FaceTime? And I said, sure. And she said, I was like laying on the floor with like my face against like the bed or something like that. And said, can you show me your face? And I showed her my face. She said, oh, my face was just like slurred, like, you know, like, like drooped down. And she's like, hey, I think something happened. I think you had a stroke or something. And I was like, what? No, I'm okay. And of course, you know how men are. I'm like, oh, no, I'm fine. No, I'm good. And so she's like, I really think I need to call an ambulance. And I was like, no, that's not necessary. And I was like begging her not to. And she said, I'm sorry, I'm going to call. Can you get Alexis, my daughter? And so Alexis came up the stairs. I said, Tina wants to talk to you. And Tina was talking to Alexis and telling her, hey, like, I think something's wrong with your daddy. I think something happened. I'm going to call an ambulance. And can you please go open the door for them and, like, you know, let them in when they come? And, you know, don't be scared, and was, you know, really sweet to Alexis. And so, you know, I don't know how long it was after that, maybe 20 minutes or so, the ambulance showed up, and paramedics came up the stairs, and they came and were, like, asking me questions that I did not know the answers to and was really confused. And then they were talking to Tina on FaceTime, and she said, no, like, this isn't like him. And so they said, okay, well, you know, we're going to take you away on the stretcher and we're going to take you to the hospital and all this stuff. We think you need some help. And I was like, no, really, guys, I'm okay. The ambulance isn't necessary. Like, this is so over the top. Like, this, Tina, I told you, I don't need this. And she's like, you do, honey, I'm sorry. And it was really, like, overwhelming for me, like, emotionally, just knowing how scared my kids must be. They used to see mommy get carried away in an ambulance all the time. And every time Alexis wanted to, like, draw pictures for the paramedics to, like, ask them to take care of her mommy. And it was, like, really, really hard for me to know that they were watching daddy get put on a stretcher and they were taking my blood pressure and all this stuff. And when I told the paramedic, I said, this isn't necessary. He said, it is necessary. And just so you know, you need to know this. He said, we heard the 911 call. Your girl. Sorry.
Okay.
She's like, your girl is the only reason that you're alive. We heard the 911 call and you were trying to get her to have us not come. And she's the only reason that you're alive. She's the only reason that your kids still have a daddy.
Wow.
And they rushed me to the ER and they said I had a big stroke, like a big, big brain bleed. And they started working on me, and Tina drove here from West Virginia. I don't know the timelines, but she was here before I knew it. I don't even know what happened, but I was like, what are you doing here? Hey. And she's like, yeah, good to see you. And I was all confused because all of a sudden it was like, I don't know. Again, I don't know the timelines. Everything's so confusing to me. I barely remembered anything, but I remember then all of a sudden it was like my in-laws were here from California. And I don't know when in the chain of events they came, but I remember just feeling so happy to see them and so overwhelmed that they were there. But gosh, the gratitude in my heart was just soaring after they told me that like I shouldn't be alive and my kids shouldn't even have their daddy still. And it was just really, really intense. And she's still like over the phone. Tina like was still like taking care of my kids and make sure they were getting dressed and getting ready for school. And she called my neighbors and had my neighbors come in and help. And everybody was just doing something. It seemed like before I knew it, it was like everything was taken care of. And I said, well, what about this? And she said, no, it's all handled. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. This so-and-so is doing it. So-and-so is doing that or whatever. And so I just remember, like, it hit me so hard when I kind of woke up. And I was like, what is going on? Like, where am I? And Tina's like, you had a stroke. Like, you're in the hospital. They're helping you. And I was so confused about everything. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know where I was or why I was there. And so people had to keep explaining to me. And the nurses kept asking me questions I didn't know the answers to. And it was just really, really intense. And so I thank God for Tina every day. And if it wasn't for, you know, it's like we've talked several times about the, what is the butterfly effect?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we never started this podcast, I never would have met Tina, who saved my life.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Wow.
It's like really, it's been so overwhelming for me. And I just want to say to all of you listening, thank you so much for all of the support and love and voicemails and helping with the GoFundMe and sending groceries to my house and gifts. The love is what just kept me pushing because I was so overwhelmed by feeling like, I can't believe this many people care about me.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people.
Overwhelming is such an understatement. It was just so overwhelming. It was like, oh my gosh, like, why do all these people care? I've never experienced this before, but I had people I didn't even know sending me messages that were like, hey, we're praying for you.
Yeah.
Rob Linger, gosh, man, you sent me so many nice messages. And
Rob.
Thank you. I'm going to send you an iPhone as a gift.
That's a great idea. Rob, get ready for your iPhone. I love that 15 idea. 15
Pro Max coming at you.
Right. Oh, wow. I'm sure that was
such an overwhelming experience. And Tina was just such an incredible blessing. I can't tell you like how many times through all my confusion, she left all these beautiful notes all over my room that said, if you're confused, call Tina. And her phone number was there. And every night I'd have to like wake up and I'd be looking around my room just terrified because I didn't know what was going on. There were so many nights. I know this is in line with our podcast. There were so many nights that I woke up and I was so confused and I remembered that Lacey died. Because I was like, who's here by my side? Like, who do I have? And it was like, Lacey. And it was like, oh no. Oh yeah, Lacey died.
Oh my gosh.
And that was like really overwhelming. And then I'd see these beautiful notes that would say, like, if you're confused, call Tina. And I would call her and I would just say, hey, there's notes in my room that say I can call you if I'm confused. And she's like, yes, honey, what's going on? And I was like, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. But I'm like, I'm lost. I need to leave. And she's like, you can't leave. And I'm like, no, I need to get out of here. I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I felt like I was in jail. And I was like, I didn't do anything to anybody. I didn't hurt anybody. I don't know why I'm stuck here. Like, what did I do? And she's like, you didn't do anything. We just care about you. And we want you to get better. But I was, and so hearing from my nurses, they were like, you got really lucky. Like, you know, and then I was like reading up on, once I got a hold of my phone, I was like looking up stuff and like what a stroke was. And like what, I was trying to figure out what happened. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like I really almost died. And that's why I can't do anything on the left side of my body. Like, I can't pick things up. Like, I really, and, you know, I'm a mechanic. So it's like, the thought of like picking up a bolt and like threading it into something is like feels like impossible. Like I just feel like I don't have that ability anymore. And so
wow.
It's been crazy. And then you and Joel came and visited. That was so awesome. And helped with the kids and all the stuff. It was so nice to see you guys. It was so nice to see familiar faces.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it was just extremely, the whole experience was nothing short of completely overwhelming. And I just felt all these prayers. I just felt that people were praying for me because I just had this unexplainable peace that was like, I don't understand why I just feel like everything's going to be okay when everything's telling me nothing's okay.
Right.
But yet, they're just, every time I woke up, there was this beautiful woman by my side holding my hand and whispering things to me like, you're going to be okay. Hey, here's where you are. Here's what's going on. And I mean, I was saying crazy stuff. I was like, no, I'm in an airplane. I was like, I'm in an airplane. And she's like, you're not in an airplane. I was like, I'm in an airplane. I'm going to fly this thing out of here. Like, I'm taking off right now. I'm going to call Joel. And I'm going to be like, hey, how do I fly this thing? I really was like, adamant that I needed to leave and that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And she's like, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Please don't leave. And I'm like, well, they won't let me leave anyways. I've already asked. I'm like, I'm trying to go outside. And they're like, no, sit back down. Get back to your bed. And I had like bed alarms and stuff. If I got out of the bed, like these alarms went off. Uh-huh. And then the nurses would come running into my room because they thought I fell. I'm like, no, I'm okay. And they're like, where are you going? I was like, I don't know. And I just start crying. I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know where I am. I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know why I'm here. And the nurse is like, do you know what year it is? I was like, no, I don't know what year it is. And I was like, just guessing at all these things. And she's like, I think she knew everything was okay at one point because she's like, do you know who the president is? I was like, unfortunately, yes. Not to get all political, but like, I loved when they asked me that question. But
yeah,
it was fun for me to like tell jokes, you know, it was like, just, I'm sure. I just needed to like laugh. It just felt so normal to like laugh. And so yeah. I remember seeing my brother came all the way from California. Mm. I remember when I saw his face, it was just like all this like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? Like this just excitement and just gratitude swept over me that I was just like, I can't believe how many people are like trying to support me in all these amazing ways. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what I've ever done to deserve this many people caring about me. And my father-in-law was really nice to me and, you know, told me several times that when he said, Tina is doing a great job taking care of you. And he said, I just, you know, want you to know, like, you're getting it back. What you did for Lacey, you're getting it back.
Wow.
You know, because I took care of Lacey and he was like, man, like, Tina's doing that for you right now.
That's amazing.
She's got your back, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, I know. Believe me, I know. Yeah. I'm sorry for anybody who's actually watching this. I'm like, my nose is just running like crazy.
It's all good.
You're pulling all this stuff out. So please don't go and watch it just based off of hearing me say that.
It's all good.
Oh, I got to see this. This is gross.
Wow.
So anyways, yes. I just kept having this feeling of like, I am so thankful to be alive. Like, I can't believe I'm alive.
Right.
When I read what happened and I read all these things that I was like, I was in a coma, right, honey? Or didn't they put me in a coma or something like that?
You were heavily sedated.
Heavily sedated, okay.
Okay.
Ventilator.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. They had me on a ventilator, I guess.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But fortunately, I live close to one of the leading trauma centers for strokes in the United States.
That's amazing.
The University of Tennessee. Where apparently I think the roofs open up and my hospital rooms and I'm watching football games. I was like, no, I saw it. Don't tell me it doesn't do that. I saw it. It does it. It all, the whole roof opens up and you're like on the 50-yard line.
Yes, I had this whole, like,
I was hallucinating big time. I was seeing all kinds of things that weren't happening. I was like, no, I saw it. It happened.
Yeah, you're like, it's really cool. And then they bring you your food right to your bed and you're in the stadium. We're just like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I was so out of it.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, how confusing. And I know when we saw you, you said you were going through a lot of grief, you know, because it made you realize what it was like for Lacey to not be able to get out of your bed. I'm sure that, you know, we can imagine what that's like, but to actually, for you to physically be in that position and to know what it feels like to have to ask someone for everything, you know, and so when we saw you,
I remember feeling so excited. Thanks for reminding me, because I remember feeling so excited to, like, share that on the podcast that that I really got a chance to feel like what it must have been like for Lacey to like lose all of her dignity. Mm-hmm. Because she had to allow me, you know, she, I've shared this on here before, I think, but, you know, with her being paralyzed, she lost all abilities, all functions right. in her body. And so I had to help her with all the going to the bathroom stuff.
Right.
And
yeah.
She unfortunately had to have diapers and different things like that, that for her, right. she told me, she's like, I'm your wife. Like, you shouldn't have to see me like this. Mm. And I was like, hey, like, I got you. Don't yeah. worry about that. Well, I had to like go through that. And I remember right. it was so humiliating and so embarrassing to like have to do all this stuff in front of people. And mm-hmm. you just like have no dignity. And I was just right. like, I'm like, you know, they're nurses, they're females. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm normally like a pretty modest person. I'm
right.
I'm sorry that I have to just like be like this. And they're like, no, it's okay. You're in the hospital. This is what you're here to do. And I just remember feeling like horrible. That like, mm-hmm. and I just started weeping because I was like, Lacey had to go through this and she had to allow me to see her like this. And I was thinking of how much I didn't want Tina to see the things that I was going through and how like humiliated I felt. And just like, I can't believe Lacey had to, I understand now why she didn't want to like let me do anything, why she didn't want me to see her that way. Right. And she didn't want me to have that visual of her right. as my wife. She's mm-hmm. like, you're supposed to see me as like the most beautiful woman in the world. And like, I don't want you to see me this way. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like, I just felt this overwhelming, like, oh my gosh, I get it. And it, that brought me a lot of grief because I just felt so bad for Lacey.
Right.
That she had to like go through all of that. And I kind of went through a very small portion of that, of just having to like, you know, shower in front of people. And I had to, yeah. to get out of there. I had to show nurses that like, I knew how to shower by myself and that I wasn't going to fall over. And mm-hmm. It was humiliating to like right, have to just like do all that stuff in front of somebody. And yes, I know how to wash myself or whatever, you know. And I'm sorry, yeah. I'm probably sharing a little too much on here, but it's been an intense month. I'll just say that.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I feel so much gratitude to be home. It is really sweet. I had a projected get out date that was actually like 1 week further than when I actually yes. got out.
Yeah.
And I just pushed really hard and was able to get out when I was hoping to. Like the right opportunities presented themselves, and I happened to, my nurses were like, we think you're ready.
Wow.
And so they, you know, kind of pushed me to be ready for the tests, and they helped me like be ready to pass, and I passed and they let me out. And it was really sweet. My son Luke was like, oh my gosh. He told Tina, he said, I prayed for God to let Daddy out earlier. Aww. And he answered me. And it was so sweet. The wow. kids really, really wanted me to be home. They had to come and visit me in the hospital, and they wanted to like stay the night all the time. And we had to keep telling them like, no, you can't, you know? And it was so sad. And I can't tell you how much I just wanted to hold on to them and,
yeah.
and just keep them close. I didn't want to let them go.
How did they do throughout this whole month, last month?
They did really, really well. They prayed for me, and Luke would pray over me and pray for me, and Tina kept telling me about it. Luke prayed so hard for you last night and was like begging God to like help you get better and please bring my daddy home and all these really sweet prayers. They did really, really well, and I'm sorry, excuse me. I had to blow my nose. I told them, I'm sure this is really, and I told the kids, I said, hey, I just want you guys to understand and to know that I don't have what mommy had.
Good.
What you're seeing good. From daddy is not what mommy had. Mommy right. had a very different sickness. They knew she had cancer. I said, I do not have cancer.
Right.
I have something else. And she's like, I know your brain is bruised and your brain is very confused. And I'm like, yeah, you've noticed. She kept saying things. It was really sweet and funny. She's like, daddy, it's okay. I know you're confused. And I'm like, hey, watch.
That's cute. Oh, wow. So what was it
so
like?
So thanks for asking. They handled it really
yeah.
well.
Yeah. To just, so you woke up like confused. And then when did you realize, I'm just wondering what it would be like to be in your prison. When did you realize you couldn't use your left side? Like, what was that like? Do you remember, you know, what that was like?
Not exactly. I just remember like I kept looking down and thinking things were in my hand and they weren't there.
Oh.
And then also every time I went to pick something up, it would just fall out of my hands. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And they're like, you've lost a lot of use in the left side of your body. And I'm like, I can't like pick anything up. I was like trying to pick up something to take a drink, and I just started spilling all over myself. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm like, I can't hold on to anything. They're like, yeah, you're going to have to rebuild all that through like physical therapy. And That's why we have you in physical therapy. And thank God Tina got me into physical therapy, like, right away.
Right.
Because that's, like, one of the most critical things to a stroke is to, like, start physical therapy right away.
Mm-hmm. And so what
to,
was
like,
that?
To, like, regain your function.
Yeah. What was physical? Because when I last saw you were in the hospital, but a few days later you moved to the rehab place.
Yes.
What did you do there? I know it's rehab, but, like, what was that like for you? Like, what did they have you doing?
Well, I would wake up and then there would usually be somebody, some kind of physical therapist or occupational therapist or speech therapist in my room within like an hour of me waking up and after I'd already eaten breakfast and stuff. And because it was like already there when I wake up, my breakfast was there, you know, the 50 yard line and all that. No, but the breakfast was in my room and I would just wake up and eat my breakfast on my own and try to get ready because they'd show up and they're like, well, you know, do you want to shower today? Do you want to? I'm like, I don't care, whatever. I'm just, whatever you guys want me to do, I'm good to do it. Like, let's go. And so I'd get dressed, get my shoes on, and go down to like the gym. Mm. And they'd have me like walk and do different exercises. And I was using a walker a lot. And they had me like walk up and down like platforms and things like that, trying to teach me how to use the walker. And they'd put like ankle weights on and have me do like squats and different like exercises.
Whoa.
And I was like, they're like, how are you doing? I was like, my legs are tired. I feel like I haven't used any of these muscles like in my whole life. And now I'm just using them for the first time. So mm-hmm. I remember my legs felt so like shaken and weak. And but yeah, I had to learn how to walk again. I couldn't walk. It was really funny watching one of the physical therapists. She was awesome. Her name was Emily. She was really cool. And she was like, she's like, so you don't remember coming here? I'm like, no, not at all. And she's like, so you don't remember this? And she stood up and then like, she's all, this was you. And she like leaned over to the side of the walker. It was like, she's all, I had to keep like pushing you up. And she's like, you were just fully like all like leaned over. And I'm like, yeah, that's, I was going to change my name to Eileen. But I kept, I kept falling onto her. She's like, you were like falling all over me. And I just like would push you back up straight. And she'd, and then you'd kind of stay up straight and start like leaning the other way. But she's like, you really wanted to walk. And I'm like, I remember that. I remember that I was like, I can do this. I got this. Like, no, I know how to do this. And I didn't understand. I wasn't processing that, like, no, your nerves, like, stopped remembering how to do this.
Right.
Everything's different now. And so it's not the same as it used to be. So I kept doing everything, like, way too quickly. Mm-hmm. And, like, my brain was processing what to do next faster than my feet were able to do it. So I kept tripping myself and tipping over. And they were like, you got to really slow down. You got to keep your legs, like, shoulder width apart and, you know, walk slowly and take, you know, intentional steps. You have to lift your foot. Stop dragging your foot. And because mm-hmm. I kept, like, tripping myself. So that was one of the biggest things to get over was, like, not falling from, like, learning how to walk again.
Wow.
So it's crazy. I totally had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to like use my hands again. Like I still am not very good with my left hand at all. Mm-hmm. But if you've been watching on video, I can wipe my nose with my left hand. So everybody needs to know
there
that.
Yeah.
There you go. But I can do some things with my left hand and mm-hmm. just not a lot of others. So, you know, it's crazy because I just remember every time I would just get this like overwhelming, like I should not be here. Every time I would read about, I would get on my phone and read about strokes. I'm like, how am I still alive? Yeah. And I just would remember like Tina's voice on the phone, like, sorry, honey, you need this. Mm-hmm. And I was just like so grateful for her and was just like, oh my gosh, like she saved my life.
Yeah.
And, I'm so glad she didn't listen to me. And some of the comments were cracking me up on Facebook on the Widow Too Soon. Someone's like, I can't remember who it was. I have to go back and look. But she's like, you need to listen to her always from now on. I'm like, oh, I'm sure she'll love to read that.
Yes.
So I guess I have to listen to her always from now on, no matter what it's about. I was cracking up at that. I'm like, oh, she'll. So I was actually going to tag her in that and reply and say, I bet you love this comment. I always have to listen to you always, no matter what. But it's the truth. Like I really do need to like not rely. And somebody had a great comment on there that said, well, maybe when all this is over, you can remind your kids that the ambulance is the reason that they still have their daddy. So they're not scared of the ambulance anymore.
Yes,
and
that
maybe you take them down to a firehouse and have an ambulance, have the paramedics explain what they do. And so
that's
they can
a great idea.
Teach your kids that they save lives. And I'm like, yes, cause they did save my life.
Right. That's
yeah, they took me over, you know, they got me to the hospital and obviously stabilized me. I was, oh my gosh, I was talking crazy stuff. I didn't even know what was going on. Like, but I remember the feeling of, like, I wanted to just jump in the driver's seat of the ambulance. I'm like, I know how to drive this thing. Get out of the way. like, I got this. You know, I'll drive myself to the hospital. I'm bored. I want to drive. So it was funny. Like, I was so confused, and I would just wake up that way multiple times a day. I would, like, take a nap and wake up and be like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And sweet Tina, it was like, every time I call, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I know I keep calling you. She's like, don't be sorry. It's okay. I know you're confused. It's okay. What are you confused about? And I'd just be like, I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. And she's like, do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? Do you know this? Do you know that? And I'm like, no, yes, no, no. And she was like, just so patient to like keep explaining things to me. And I never felt any frustration from her. And I know how hard it can be to be a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the person is being like really annoying and difficult. Like I was. I was being really difficult and really annoying, but I kept apologizing to her, and she's like, you don't need to apologize. And I'm like, I feel like I'm really annoying, and, you know, I keep asking you the same questions, and I can't remember the answers the next time. And she's like, hey, it's okay. That's what I'm here for. And it was just really sweet. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better person to be by my side during that.
It's amazing.
It was just amazing and just truly, truly miraculous. I really feel so blessed just to be alive right now, to even be sitting here, like, thanking everybody so much for sending groceries to my house to help Tina and with the kids and all this stuff. It was just so sweet. And all the people that donated money to the GoFundMe, that was just overwhelming. I was like, why? Why are all these people doing this? This is just unbelievable. And and you shared a lot of voicemails with me and a lot of messages. And I was truly like floored. Mm-hmm. And it just had me weeping in my hospital bed, just crying, like not understanding why all these people were just showing so much love and caring so much. And it was very, very touching and just made me so overwhelmed with gratitude for so many people and to be alive and to have Tina in my life and, you know, have my kids. I just could not stop holding on to those kids.
Well, you have touched
They were everything. I was like, I'm getting strong. Don't you guys worry about it. I'm going to be out of here so I can tickle you again.
Yeah. Well, I think the outpouring of love is for many reasons. I mean, your life has touched so many lives. And this is going to be all emotional for me, but think about if you had not said yes to the podcast for so many things. Now you've got me thinking the whole butterfly effect. Like, if you had not said yes to the podcast, you wouldn't have made a difference in these, like, probably thousands of people's lives. And then, like you said, like, you might not be alive because you wouldn't have met Tina. Like, that just is crazy to me. And, you know, so people are just giving back from what you've done for them. And I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I want to kind of share, like, what it was like for me, like, the day that I found out. And Tina was so great, you know, even with everything she's going through, like, updating me because everyone's asking me what's going on. And
That's awesome.
I went on a run and I just literally was crying and like saying to God, please like save Mark. Cause I went online and read about these strokes and I was like, this doesn't look good, you know? And I was like, God, these kids and Tina have been through so much. They need Mark. Like, God, please. I was like begging God to heal him, do a miracle. And so to see you sitting here today is like the, like, I don't think I've ever seen a miracle like this. Like, it's just absolutely amazing to be from that day where it didn't even look like you might not make it, you know?
Yeah.
To this place of you're here and just, it's a miracle. Like,
it really is.
It's so amazing because, you know, I never saw the miracle with Luke. You never saw it with Lacey. So to see it, you can see it in yourself. I can see it in you, our listeners who may not, their spouses may not have got their miracles here on earth, but to see it is like amazing because I've never seen
that's
it
awesome.
Before,
thank you.
You know? And so
I know what you mean.
It's like your life. Like, I don't know why God allowed you to go through this. Like, I was also wrestling with that day. Like, God, he's already been through so much. Why would you allow this? Why? You know, we don't always get to know the why, but I think God already has done a lot through this for, you know, there's so many people's lives that you touch that this is part of your ministry. Like now you have this as something that you survived and God did a miracle in your life. And who knows what this is going to do to help other people. Because now, not only can you help widows, you can help people who've been through strokes. You can give them hope. That's a whole other bunch of people, you know?
And who knows, what if in 2 years we're sitting here talking and we're like, man, can you imagine if I never had that stroke?
Right?
X, Y, and Z wouldn't have happened or whatever. We've seen that so much through this podcast. So many times we've been like, oh my gosh, if this wouldn't have happened or that wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't be here doing this or whatever. It's really remarkable. And thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, it's just been so great to see.
Appreciate you thinking about and praying for my kids and all that.
Oh, of course. It's, constantly.
It's awesome. And yeah, and I just remember feeling so bad for Tina. I was just like, she can't go through this again, you know?
Right.
Like, she can't go through this again. Because what I have not announced that I plan to talk about more next week is that about a year and 2 or 3 months ago, something like that, I actually proposed to Tina and she said yes. So we are engaged. We have been engaged. And all I could think about is, like, she can't lose me.
Right.
Like, this would suck, you know? And then she has to, like, explain to my kids, you know? And I remember how hard that was. And I would never want to put that on her. And
right. And she has been...
She was just right there, signed up for everything. And it was just incredible. It was like, okay, I really proposed to the right woman.
You did. Because honestly, there's some women that are not of the character of her that might have been like, I don't know, this is too much. I don't know. But she stuck by your side. Like, she's doing the in sickness and health before you're married. Like, that is so beautiful.
Yes.
Like, that, it just touches my heart. Like, and that she's so committed.
She doesn't do well with, like, blood or surgery or anything. Like, she's like me, we both have like weak stomachs when it comes to that stuff. And I have this picture my friend sent me of her all snuggled up next to me with all these tubes coming out of my head, and I'm like, that had to be so hard for you. But she just had this pure smile on her face. It was just, she just felt so blessed to be next to me. I could see it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I really proposed to the right woman.
Yeah,
she's just such a great woman. She's such a sweetheart, and just she really fought for me. And she got me into, like, all the right therapy place I needed to be in, and just fought the whole, every step of the way for me to get everything I needed. And, you know, was calling and was like, hey, can he get more physical therapy sessions? He's supposed to have more. And I'm like, am I really? She's like, oh, yeah, I said that in the thing. And when we first signed up and blah, 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 you were supposed to get this and you're only getting this.
Yeah, she was on it.
So, yeah, she was on everything and just handled it. And next thing I know, I'm getting more physical therapy, and as my legs are all shaking, I'm like, dang it, what'd you sign me up for?
Yes.
But she's the reason I'm here. Not only, you know, breathing, but here, home, right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Blessed to be in my own home. She's stayed by my side and helped me out every step of the way with dealing with neighbors and, you know, all the stuff that's involved in being a homeowner. You know, my landscaping guy and neighbors coming to feed my dogs. I have two little dogs that need to be taken care of, and she made sure all that was handled and made sure the neighbors were getting paid. And you know, because I like to pay people for doing stuff for me. I don't like asking for things. And she just made sure she's like, don't worry, I had this taken care of, that's taken care of. She even like helped my kids through the end of school, because this is, you know, the end of the year. And she made sure that all the teachers had gifts from each kid, and that they wrote them little letters.
Aww.
And just thanked them for being their teacher and how much they did for them. And she messaged with the teachers and told them what was going on and everything, so that they'd have some grace for my kids if anything, you know, came up that they had to like skip school for the day or something like that. But she made sure everything was handled and did such a great job, like way better than I would have. And I know how hard it is to like do everything for somebody. And she just stepped right up, right next to my side, and was like just holding my hand the whole way. And like,
she
I got you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times she was like, I got you. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. I don't know why. I don't understand it, but like, you've been so good to me. And
she's such
a
gift.
She's like, because you love me really well. And I got your back. And it was just like super sweet. And she's like, and I know from what you did for Lacey, and I know from conversations we've had in the past, that if this was me, you'd be right there doing the same thing for me. And I'm like, absolutely.
Wow.
I told her a long time ago, if you ever get cancer or anything like that, like, you better tell me. That she mentioned, like, I don't think I can tell you, because I know everything you went through with Lacey. I don't think I could tell you if I got cancer. I'm like, you better tell me, because I need to be able to take care of you. If you, I know Lacey needed me. It wasn't like an option. Like, she couldn't take care of herself. And So I said, you better let me do that for you. You know what I mean? Not like I talked to her all like, thug. You better.
You better.
You better. But, you know, just like, yeah, just like adamant that like, no, like, don't keep that from me. Like, you let me mm-hmm. take care of you. Let yeah. me love you. And she's like, you would do the same for me. So I'm right here for you.
She's already just
like, wow, I'm so amazed yeah. that I got to see this before we even get married.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, she's already shared this extremely deep, committed love before you're married. You
yes,
know, like,
yes.
what a gift. And, you know, one of the beautiful things that happened for me through this is that I got to know Tina better because she would give
yeah,
me updates.
Yeah, she mentioned that too. She's like, I really like Michelle. She's uh-huh. cool.
I really like Tina, and it was awesome. Like, even when she's busy, she'd still call me and give me updates, and we prayed together, and just, like, I was amazed at her strength, first of all, just with mm-hmm. everything she has
she's
going on. And yeah, she's a warrior, for sure. She's definitely a warrior. And then, you know, just her devotion, her, like, getting into action and taking care of the kids, and just like, she's on it, she's doing all the things, you know. And it was beautiful that I got to share with her, like, yes, you got to be his advocate, you know. Like, I've spent a lot of time in hospitals
right
and, like,
yeah.
with Luke, so I was like, yeah, you have to, someone's got to be there to be the
no
advocate.
No one's
going to
advocate if you
right
don't.
I know you know this, you know. And so it mm-hmm. was, she got to experience that. And you know, there was just some things that I was able to relate with her. I can't remember something about Luke, and then it related to something you were going through. I can't remember, but she was like, that's so helpful to hear. I can't even remember what it was, but it was like, I was right. able to speak into that, being that person by their side and mm-hmm. advocating and doing all of those things. And I really just got to know her so much better. And just like, I was told her, like, I'm so thankful for you. Like, I didn't even know the part yet that she had saved your life, but just like, mm-hmm. how much harder this would be if she wasn't in your life. Like,
yeah,
I'm just
oh
like,
gosh.
Thank you, God, for bringing this amazing woman, you know, into your life so that there's somebody there doing all of these things and being there for the kids and
yes.
just all of that stuff. And it just makes me so thankful, you know, for all of this. And, you know, yeah, it's just, I'm sure been such a crazy time for you. And so
it's
now that you're
one heck of a month.
Yeah, probably the craziest month. Like, just yeah, what, so now you've been home a few days, so do you still go out to go to rehab, or what is that, what does your recovery
so
look like now?
I'm waiting for my first appointment to go do it's like home health.
No, you're gonna do outpatient.
Oh outpatient. Yeah. So where I go to a facility and I do all my things there that they tell me to do. I mean, they showed me everything. They showed me how to get in and out of a car. They had cars there.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they had me, like, do all these things that were, like, super hard for me. Like, had to, like, dig through, like, a cup full of sand and pull out objects.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I can't do this. Like, my hands aren't working. And I'm like, I tell it. I'm like, grab it. And it's like, no. I'm like, it's just not working. Like, it's just, my hand's, like, mm-hmm. limp. It just doesn't work. And so I'm like, I can't. This is really, really hard. And she's like, keep going, you can do it. And so I just got all the things out and was like, okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of things that were very, very challenging in the rehab. That it's just so interesting. You don't think about how blessed you are to be able to do certain things until you can't do them.
Right.
All of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, like, I can't even tell you how annoying it was. There were nights where, because I dropped so many things, I dropped my phone on the floor. And I really wanted to, like, call Tina because I was confused. And it'd take me, yeah. one of the times it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get my phone up off the floor. I couldn't pick it up. An hour and 45 minutes, I was just sitting there struggling to pick my phone up off the floor. And I, like, fell out of bed several times, like, trying to do things that I shouldn't have been doing.
mm-hmm.
Tina's like, did you set your bed alarm off again? And I'm like, yeah, sorry. And she's like, dang, boy, stay in bed. It was really sweet. She was such a great support. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She's like, stay in bed, you're going to get in trouble. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. my phone fell. And she's like, well, then just page somebody for help. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to ask them. They're going to get annoyed with me. And, you know, I'm such a people pleaser. I'm like, they're going to be annoyed
right.
with me. And I'm going to be such a difficult patient to them. They're going to be like, oh, this guy keeps dropping things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drop, like, if it was put in my hand, I dropped it. Like, it was just so hard for me to hold on to things. So it's just amazing how you don't even realize how blessed you are to have a functioning body while it's working. But when you lose something, it's like all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, wow, I used to be able to do this like it was nothing.
Right.
And now I can't even do it. So, like, even talking at first was very, very difficult. I was slurring all my words, and I still have been slurring a lot, as I'm sure people can hear, but it was very difficult to, like, learn how to talk again, learn how to walk again. Wow. And it was very, it was just very humbling to be
sure.
Like, wow, like, I used to know how to, like, I didn't even have to think about this. I would just do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to just get up and go to the bathroom, I would just get up and go to the bathroom. But now it's like this whole thing I have to, like, think about and plan. And, okay, I have to do this, and then I have to do that, and then I have to make sure I have that to hold on to or this to hold on to. And so even something basic like flushing the toilet was, like, so difficult. Mm-hmm. I had to, like, kind of just slap my hand around until I grabbed the mm-hmm. flusher and then push it. Everything was so challenging and so hard. And so you get this overwhelming, like, gratefulness to once you, like, relearn how to do something, you're like, oh, I can totally do this again.
Yeah.
So it's been a very emotional experience.
Oh, yeah.
I've mm-hmm. probably cried more in the last month than I have in the last couple years.
Right.
And I, you know, I cry semi-regularly just with everything I've been through and us doing this podcast. I get emotional a lot. I'm a pretty emotional mm-hmm. person. And so it's not unusual for me to think about something that makes me cry, or when I, like, have a flashback, which happens a lot because I think I have PTSD, so I have a lot of flashbacks.
Right.
And I'll just, like, remember certain moments of going through it all with Lacey, and, like, I get really emotional, like, or especially when I connect to something where I'm like, oh, man, and I kind of feel like what that must have been like for her. I get mm-hmm. very emotional because I feel bad for her. Or when I see the kids do something, I'm like, man, she missed this. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, she doesn't even get to... She'd be so proud of these kids if she could just see how much they're like her and how smart they are or how gifted or whatever. Like, their hearts for others and how good they are to other people and how much they love, how well they love. She'd be so proud. And so I get emotional when those moments happen and I know she can't see it.
Yeah, that is hard.
So I'm a pretty emotional person, so I've had a lot of emotions lately.
I'm sure. So I wanted to share this. I don't know if you remember it. When Joel and I were there, I said, do you question God? Like, do you ask, like, God, like, why me? And you said, why not me? And I was mm-hmm. so impressed by, in the midst of it, well, you couldn't even get out of bed. You were saying, why not me? And had such a strong faith and strong... just good, like, attitude about everything, and just, like, you
Thank
were
you.
So, I don't know, it just was so impressive. So share with us, like, what this whole process with your, has done with your faith, and it's okay if it made you question your faith or whatever, like, what has that been like? What's that part of this been like?
That's a great question, and I appreciate you reminding me of that, because I kind of forgot, but I do remember that now that you say it, and mm-hmm. I remember you being like, wow, I can't believe you just said that.
Right.
And I remember feeling like, but really, like, why not me? Like, why not me? Like, this, like, bad things happen to a lot of people. Bad things have happened to a lot of good people, as we all know. Lacey was an awesome person. Luke was a great person. Tina's husband, John, was an amazing man. And, like, they deserve to have their family still. Why did bad things happen to them?
Right.
Like, why not me? And really, like, it could have been so much worse. It could have been so, like, I could be paralyzed right now.
Right.
I know people who've had strokes who can't talk, who are going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives. Who are still confused years after the fact, still don't understand what happened, still can't explain it to them. They still don't understand. I mean, strokes are intense. Strokes are crazy. I'm sure some mm-hmm. of the people listening lost their spouse to a stroke.
Yeah.
It's pretty common. And a lot of times with the stroke that I had, which is, what is it called, a hemorrhagic?
Hemorrhagic,
which means it's like bleeding, not a clot.
Right.
A lot of times people die from that. It's very common for people to die from that. And so, gosh, how humbling. For me to say, like, yeah, so why not me? Like, why me? Why not me? Why not me? Like, what have I done that's, I'm not Mother Teresa or whatever. Like, yes, my faith is strong and I believe that God is a good God and God can do anything. But, I mean, I'm not some, like, when I think about what Tina's husband was like, man, that guy was just one of those people that was just a witness on fire for God. Everywhere he went, he was praying for people. He was talking to people about Jesus. Just everywhere he went, he was that guy. I don't have that in me. I'm like, if anybody should have been spared, it wouldn't be me. It would be him. Who's doing the kingdom work? Him, not me. I mean, I'm doing some kingdom work
You're
when,
doing
where
kingdom
I can,
work.
When I can.
Mm-hmm.
But Why not? What's so special about me that, like, I don't deserve for something bad to happen to me? So, no, my faith has not been shaken at all. I feel like I felt God and saw God more than I ever have in my life. And I've seen God a lot in my life.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't doubt him at all. I believe with my whole heart that I'm only here because of the prayers. And all the people that were praying for me. I mean, I can't tell you how many people told me, dude, there are legions of people praying for you.
Yes.
People all around the world are praying for you. I remember reading that post on Widow Too Soon. People all around the world are praying for you. And I know that's true.
Yes.
And,
oh, yeah.
I felt it. I just felt this overwhelming, like, everything's going to be okay. And I don't know where that was coming from, but it was just this peaceful, like, don't be scared. Like, God's got you. Look at how much he's done for you already. Remember all the times he has showed up. Wow. And I just remember having this feeling of, like, praise him. Praise him in the bad times, in the tough times, like we always talk about on this podcast. Praise him when it's hard. Talk about his goodness when it's hard. When people wouldn't be expecting you to say that. That is such a powerful testimony. When people would expect you to be afraid or, you know, not courageous or not having a lot of hope, that's when people are going to be really moved if you talk about the goodness of God.
Right.
And they're going to be like, how can you say that? Like, look at you, can't even walk anymore. No, I can't. But look at all the people that love me.
Yeah.
How unbelievable. Like, what have I done in my life to deserve thousands of people praying for my well-being? Praying for my protection and for my well-being and for God to heal me. Like, what in the world have I done to make people want to pray for me? To make people want to come and see me? To make people send gifts? To stir people's hearts to pray for my kids? To leave voicemails that they're rooting for me and that they want to see good things happen to me? So what about my faith? Well, I mean, God is good. No matter what happens, God is good. He shows that to us time and again. And I will never, ever forget all the times I saw God show up when Lacey was sick. I saw absolute miracles. If you haven't heard it, go to episode 1. I've seen crazy, crazy things that can only be explained by God. God is the answer. God is the only answer to this question of what was that? God. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
That's amazing. So what was it like, just those potentially, like, lonely times where, like, at night when visiting hours are over, Tina has to leave, there's nobody there, it's just you. Like, were there deep conversations with God? Like, what was that like, being alone in the hospital?
So scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just not having answers to all the questions that were bouncing around my head. Like, I didn't have answers, and I felt bad. You know, I even had a conscience at that time. I was like, I can't call her right now. It's probably really late.
Oh.
Like, it just feels like it's late. You know, I can't do that. But a lot of times I did anyways.
Good.
I was like, no, I need to. I need to call her. It says right here I can. She wouldn't write this if she didn't mean it. And I still knew who she was, and I still knew who she was to me, and that, like, she would be happy to hear my voice.
Yeah.
And I prayed a lot. A lot of it was, like, begging God to, like, make sense of it for me. That I don't understand what's going on, and I'm so confused and scared, and please make sure my kids are okay, because I don't even know where they're at right now. I don't even know what's going on. I would wake up in the middle of the night at the hospital. Like, I didn't even know where I was.
Oh.
But I knew I had two kids that needed me.
Right.
And I was like, please let them be okay. I don't even know where they're at right now. I don't even know if they're staying the night at somebody's house. I don't know if they're in their own beds. I don't know where they are. I don't know what's going on. But it was terrifying. It was, like, the only way I know how to describe it. It was terrifying to just be so overwhelmingly confused. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I am. Like I said, several times I thought I was in places where I definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
I definitely was not at those places that I was having a lot of hallucinations and seeing things that weren't real. And I didn't understand what happened to me or why I was there and why everybody was telling me what to do. Tina was like, you were so adamant. You were like, stop. Why is everybody telling me what to do? Everybody's being so mean. I didn't do anything. And she's like, no, they just care about you, honey. They don't want anything. They want you to get better. That's why they're telling mm-hmm. you what to do, because you can't get better if you do what you want to do. Because what you want to do is get up and leave, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
So poor girl, she had to keep explaining to me, like, no, you can't just check yourself out. So I was like, I know where I live. I know how to get home from here. Like, let me just get out. I know how to get home from here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was like, I got money. I'll take an Uber. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you're out there.
No, please don't do that.
Yeah, you got your whole like hospital gown out and getting in your Uber.
yeah, they're like, I have a feeling you're not supposed to be here.
yeah, wow. So what's next? Like, how can we be specifically praying for you? Like, what's the next step with your like continuing to heal? What do you need the most prayer for? How can we continue to support you?
That's a good question. That I just can keep getting stronger, and that I mm-hmm. keep having the same desire to keep pushing myself to get better. Because it takes a lot of that. It takes a lot of me pushing myself to do things I don't want to do.
I'm sure.
Because it's physically hard. And so, you know, it's not easy to walk up and down the stairs at my house. But I need to keep doing it. I need to keep practicing it and get stronger. And for Tina, I'd love prayers for Tina to not be afraid. Because, you know, she lost her husband. She's widowed, and poor thing doesn't need to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to see another man losing his abilities and strengths, and she needs to see me healing and getting stronger. So please, prayers for Tina and for her heart to feel, like, safe and not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me to keep getting stronger and to keep having the will to keep pushing myself.
Right.
To do the things that are really hard.
Right.
Because it's hard to rebuild strength. You know, it feels like these are all muscles that I've never used before to, like, walk. Right. Like, I can't tell you what it feels like to have the ability to walk stripped away from you. Mm. Where all of a sudden you're like, if I even stand up right now, I'm going to fall face first, and I know it. And like, that's a scary feeling to just know, like, I can't stand up without help.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm relearning to walk again, and I did go for a walk today without my walker, which felt amazing. It's like, it is muscle memory. It does, like, come back more easily than somebody who's, like, mm-hmm. paralyzed. So I know if anybody out there, you know, had, like, what, if your spouse had, like, what Lacey had, where they, because of Lacey's tumors in her spine, she became paralyzed. Right. So she actually lost the ability to walk, and hers was very different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to sound like I'm comparing the two. Because I saw that with Lacey. She didn't have the strength. She literally, like, her body would not do it. So for me, I think just, you know, that my appetite stays up, because, you know, to get stronger, I need to be able to eat a lot of food. And so I'm trying hard to, you know, so keeping my appetite up and just keeping the will to keep fighting, and that my kids, you know, praying for my kids, for Tina, and just for me, just in general, for general well-being would be really appreciated. And just, I have so much gratitude for this whole community, and just thank all of you so much for your support and your love and your prayers and all of that stuff, because it was very overwhelming to me and just kept making me want to push hard to get better.
That's so great that this community encouraged you. That was part of your, you know, just the motivation.
It was the drive, yeah.
Wow, that's powerful.
It was like, look at all these people that are rooting for me, that are telling me, like, keep pushing, like, mm-hmm. get stronger, come home, you know, we need you back on the podcast. And
yes,
a lot of people told me how you were holding down the fort, and I just loved that. I thought that was awesome. Cracking me up. You were like, apparently the podcast isn't funny without you or something.
No,
you said something to me at some point that I was cracking up laughing about.
Because it's just not as funny. I mean, what am I going to do, crack jokes with myself? Like, it just doesn't work. Sing songs by myself. I did in one podcast that we did recently. I sang something and it just felt weird, but I tried. And I was like,
that's,
you know,
awesome. Well, I'm sure everybody was really appreciative and loved hearing it.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, literally in that time when I didn't know you were going to make it either, then, you know, it was all those just feelings for your kids and Tina and like all of this. And then I was also like, what would happen to the podcast? You know, I had all these thoughts. And I was like, I don't know if I would continue that long. It's just
Rob Linger would have stepped up.
Yes, he would. And he did. And you know what? He did one episode and he volunteered to do as many as I needed. He's like, I know I'm
that was awesome.
Not funny like Mark, and I don't have an iPhone.
I did listen to that one. He did a great job.
No, he volunteered to be like the temporary host. Thanks, so that's thank awesome. You, Rob. Miraculously, we didn't need him because you came back way sooner. Like, I was like, it's going to be months. Like, I thought it would be, you know, if you came back, it was going to be like 6 months. So I was shocked the other day when I asked Tina if she'd be on it. And she's like, actually, Mark is ready. And I'm like, what? Like, that's amazing. That? Yes, just because
it was awesome.
Yeah, just
the
like
nurses
where
were
I
like, we think you're ready. We don't think you need another week here. And I was like, wow. Like, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, so I get to go home? It was like, oh my gosh. It was like, praise God. This is amazing. I'm so excited. I told all the nurses, I was like, you guys have been great. Like, mm-hmm. I was just like, sorry, nothing against you guys. You all have been wonderful and just such a great help to me. I need to go back home and feel some sense of normalcy in my life.
Oh, I'm sure. And so I'm sure like this is like one of your favorite times ever, coming home. Like, this probably felt amazing after a month. To be able come home and be in your own place and all of that.
It's funny though, I still have like confusion and like a little bit of hallucinations. I keep thinking like I can't, there's certain things at my house I can't remember.
Right.
I'm like, wait, what's on the other side of that door? Like Tina had to like explain to me where my bedroom was. And I'm like, isn't it right there? And she's like, no, you're in your bedroom. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, go look outside that door. And I looked outside the door and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, that can't be right. Like, how is this possible that I'm remembering it so much different than what reality is? Because I can see reality. I know I'm wrong. But how? How is it? How is this image real to me? But what I'm looking at is not what I remember.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's been very interesting coming home. And
yes.
I've had so much support, and I just appreciate that so much.
It's amazing. So I remembered the date because when Tina told me, she said you were going to come home on the 23rd. And I said, I won't forget that because that's the 4-year anniversary of Luke's death. And so then I was super surprised that you were coming home early. But I just wanted to talk about that for just a minute. Like, it's coming like 4 years in a couple of days. Wow. And that is just like crazy to me. You know, I'm facing more. I'm very emotional because I'm thinking about Haley's graduation coming up in a couple weeks. And it's just more of the anticipatory grief of graduation, I guess. I ordered a tassel for her that goes next to her other tassel, and it says, wishing you were here on graduation. And then it has a little thing that says, Dad, 2024. And then I ordered a picture from when they were little, when she was little, of her on his shoulders.
Really,
and I'm going to surprise her on her graduation day. And then also
sounds
I have
like daddy's gonna be there with her. That's super cool.
I have a voice message from him for her on her graduation day.
Is it one that she hasn't heard yet?
She's never heard it.
I remember a long time ago you had quite a few of those. You had a few voicemails that they
hadn't
heard.
That one, so I gave Hayden his on his graduation day, and so then I think that's when
that.
I told her. She didn't know before. I'm like, I have one for you, and I haven't listened to it in years, so it's gonna be emotional.
Oh wow.
Listening to it and getting it ready for her. I'm just gonna text it to her, but I think I'm more emotional now just with these big days coming up. Then she's gonna have her last concert, and whenever they do that, they honor the family comes down, and you know, they say her mom and dad, blah blah blah. So I'm like, do you want Joel part of this? And she's like, yeah, you know. And so we're gonna come down and support her, and like, it's just, there's a lot of big emotional days happening right now with, she has like today's senior skip day, they're not at school and they have like, it's just the end of everything. And it's just like, it's like he never saw her in high school at all. Like, whoa, 4 years. She was eighth grade
and
when he died.
About to graduate.
And now she's graduating high school. We're figuring out all the college stuff. We're still waiting on financial aid. Oh, I want to announce, she got a scholarship that was announced yesterday. And this one's really special. So our guest, Maria, the one whose husband was a youth pastor, I believe you were on this one with us. It's her it's a scholarship in his name, and Haley applied and she won. And so,
no way. Yeah. That's amazing.
I think there was like 7 winners and she was one of them. And so that was a big honor, you know, because it was like awesome. One of my widow friend's husband's scholarship, and then Haley got it. So that was exciting. So lots of exciting things, but I think I'm feeling those, just those emotions of like, this is a major milestone.
Of course.
And, you know, he's not here to see it. And there's so many big things going on that I don't know why. So like coming to the 4-year feels kind of big for me, even though like I've been through this a lot of times now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll do our usual, take the kids to Red Robin, his favorite restaurant. And we started last year. We used to share memories, and now we share, okay, what are you really proud of that you want to tell your dad? And they share like what's happened in the last year. And so, and you know, like last year, Joel's totally cool. And same this year, he's like, go do your, like, he doesn't expect to be there. That's like our thing. We go do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the grave. I already talked to him about that. Like the things I'm going to do this week.
Cool.
And Haley, now that she drives, you know, she goes to the grave on her own. So she's talking about wanting to go on Thursday. And anyways, just kind of a big moment coming that it's been like 4 years, which is craziness. So anyways, that's just something coming up for me this week, and I'll talk about it next week on how it went.
All pray for Michelle.
Thank you. So most of the time I'm good. It's just now with this massive, you know, I went through this 2 years ago. With Hayden's graduation, I remember it being very difficult. And then of course, like the slideshow, they do a slideshow and it's her and Luke, you know, I'm going to be bawling. I think it's coming up because I went to my niece's graduation on Friday and I was like, wow, this is about to happen for Haley. And just,
wow.
I ran into a widow there actually. She has triplets, at the same school as my niece. And I'd been praying for them. I was like, I ran into her. I was like, I'm praying for you. I'm sure this day is hard. And she was like, yeah. You know, just
wow.
So anyways, that's just a big thing coming up in our lives. And a lot of exciting things, you know, with transitioning to college, and she's got a choir scholarship and all kinds of scholarships, and excited about all of that. But just feeling really missing Luke in this time. I shared this on the last podcast, but really quick, like I had like a lot of grief on Mother's Day, like a lot, like all of a sudden we were in church and I just was having flashbacks to each one of their births, and I was just picturing him and missing him, and just like, I don't know, you know how it is, it just comes over you at certain times. And so anyways, that's just a little bit of what we're going through right now, but things are pretty good. Like things are great with Joel. Like Joel and Peyton have really bonded. Like they're pretty close.
Oh, really?
I would say now they've been doing Bible studies every Sunday. And then, they went to our church had this thing called the Holy Spirit Conference, and they went to that this last weekend. I was out of town. They went to it, and they're just, it's great. It's amazing to see. So
that's super cool.
I'm really happy about that.
Joel's a really, really easy guy to get along with. So
yes,
it doesn't surprise me.
He is. And now Hayden's home and it's going good with him. And we've got all my kids home. So, it's good stuff. But anyways, are your kids home? I'm like, I think I hear.
Yeah, they're downstairs screaming about something.
Nice.
I don't know what.
Yes.
They're probably playing video games together. They always like sound like they're fighting, but they're really like,
yeah, they're just having fun. So are they?
I'm like,
complete...
hey, are you guys fighting? And they're like, no, we're getting along. And I'm like, okay. She's like, Luke, he just is doing this or doing that, like something in the video game. I'm like, okay, so it sounds like nothing big. No, everything's okay. All right, sounds good. No fighting. They're like, okay.
Yeah. So, are they completely out of school now? Are they done?
They are. Yep,
okay.
Out. School's out for summer.
School's
over.
Apple. Let's come and sing it. Come on.
I don't know that I can.
No, okay.
Lost a lot of my voice. And
it's fine.
If anyone can see, like, my face doesn't, like, work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, half of my face is, like, drooping. So it's really hard for me. I practice. It's really hard for me to hit those high notes now.
Okay. Well, you'll be back. You keep pushing through and you'll
be back.
With
yep.
all your songs.
Yep. So keep praying for my voice.
Yes.
Tina wants my falsetto back.
Yes.
My high pitch.
Yeah. There it is. There it is. You still got
it.
That's
awesome.
I used
to do that all the time. Tina told me that I told her this. I think she said I was in the hospital when I said this, but that if she picked them up for the last day of school, that it was tradition that I always came up blasting schools out for summer.
I
like, I would have it like so loud. And I was like, so you have to do that if you pick them up. And she's like, okay, I'll do it. And I didn't even remember telling her that. Did you say it was when I was in the hospital that I told you that? Okay, yeah. Sorry, she's right here. And I just, there's a lot of times where I, like, see, I have to ask her the most basic stuff. Like the other day I woke up and I asked her, well, hey, am I remembering this right? Did they do brain surgery on me in the hospital? Mm. And she's like, well, kind of. Not like what you're thinking. Like they didn't like, actually operate on my brain, but they had to put like drain tubes in and like relieve pressure and all this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it technically was surgery on my brain, but not in the way that you're thinking or whatever, you know, if you think of that. But I was like, I just woke up and was like, did they do brain surgery on me? She's like, kind of, yeah. I'm like, what? That, hold on. That's crazy. Like, hold on. I need to like process that a minute. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. And I'd like to point out to the audience that doesn't see you right now that your shirt says stay buff.
Yes.
Stay this buff. Is, that's awesome.
There's a YouTube channel I watch called Buff Foods.
Oh, okay.
And BUFF stands for Better Understanding of Food and Fitness.
Oh,
and so whenever I'm like exercising, working out, like I these guys like really motivate me.
Nice.
It's two brothers and they're like bodybuilders and they're both huge. And so they always like motivate me. Like so when I'm working out, I usually wear my and it's the letters on it are backwards. So if you look at it in the mirror, like if you're exercising in the mirror, you can see that it says stay buff in the mirror.
Oh. So I thought it was just backwards because if I'm looking at it through the camera, but it's actually backwards.
That's how it's supposed to be, but it's actually backwards. So if you were here a person looking at the shirt, it looks like it says Yats Fub. But if you look at it in the mirror, it says stay buff.
Yeah.
So yeah, so their channel is Buff Dudes. I'd recommend you check them out if you like fitness stuff.
That's awesome.
They're entertaining and really cool dudes.
Nice.
I've messaged with them a few times over the years.
That's awesome.
They've been super cool.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share? Because we've been, you know, babbling for an hour. No, this is a very powerful story.
Just
gratitude.
Just gratitude. I'd just like to share that I have a lot of gratitude. For all the prayers and the support and just community and Tina and my kids and my in-laws and my brother and friends and just all the people that really showed up in remarkable ways like that I just was not expect. I would never have expected or guessed that this is what it would look like if something happened to me.
Right.
It was like really, it was really like touching and just made me like this emotional sopping mess. So I've been going through a lot of toilet paper blowing my nose.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, if it's okay, I'd like to pray for you today and close this
out. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sure.
God, we just thank you so much for this day that we didn't know would happen for a very long time, that Mark is back on the podcast. And we just want to take a moment to just thank you. Thank you for this miracle. Like, it's truly a miracle. And thank you just for the prayers of all of our listeners who have supported Mark with their prayers and financially and just all the different ways that people have shown up to show support. We pray just for his strength, that you'll continue to infuse him with strength every day to recover all of the way. We thank you for Tina being there to help him, encourage him, and to be his advocate and get him to the right rehabs and all of that stuff. So we just thank you so much for her. We pray for Luke and Alexis as they have gone through this hard time, that you continue to give them joy and peace. And just thank you. Thank you for Tina being there to take care of them and all the friends that helped with them and just all the people that helped keep these kids while Mark was going through this. And we pray for Mark's appetite, that he'll continue to have an appetite so that he can get stronger. We pray for his mind, for complete clarity and just all the things. You've already healed him this much, so we pray for 100% healing, even so he can sing again on the podcast. And we just thank you for all you've done. I just pray for all the listeners. Just pray for their hearts as they go through their own hard times right now. And I just pray that you give them peace and joy. We just thank you for all you've done. Amen.
Amen.
So if and you also, okay, good.
Thank you. thank you so much for the prayer. And I just also wanted to add that we're praying for you, Michelle, with Haley's graduation coming up, and praying for her also. And I hope everything goes smooth with all the tassels and all that stuff.
Yes, thank you.
That all that stuff goes smooth and that it means as much to Haley to and that she's able to hear the voicemail and all that stuff
goes
through the way it's supposed to.
Thank you.
And that
She ate
nothing gets technical and, you know, too techy, hard to figure out, you know, how that stuff can do.
Yes, I've saved it in many places. Like, it was on my phone originally, but I've saved it on my computer, like, a lot of places. So I never lose those voicemails from Luke. So, anyways, if you liked the podcast, get a little bing, 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 5 stars, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen. Share this. Please join our Widow Too Soon pages. We have the big page you can join, but I love the Widow Too Soon community because you guys can also post and ask for prayer and things like that. So that's the one I'm always recommending that people join because we can interact with you more. We've done polls. Like, it's just a great place to find a community. And I think that's about it. So
that is about it. I also would like to sincerely express so much gratitude and thankfulness to all of you who have been praying for me or have just contributed your help in any way. It's really, really appreciated and really meant a lot to me. So I just wanted to thank you, and from the bottom of my heart, I really, really appreciate all the love and support and prayers and just community that surrounded me. It was so powerful.
Yes.
You really showed me God. You really brought God in front of my eyes.
Yeah. Yes. So thank you guys. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
All right. God bless. Bye.